Before God created civil government, he created family. Before he created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing to look at and discuss Amendment 4, which is a proposed constitutional amendment that will radically allow abortion for any reason up to the moment of viability without any restriction, and will place an abortionist as the sole decision maker along with a woman with whether it is necessary to kill a preborn child, even all the way up until the moment of birth. And this will be on the ballot. Voters will actually vote either for or against this. And we are encouraging you to vote no on Amendment 4. And last week, we actually looked at and discussed really what the amendment says, what it will do. And I would encourage you to, if you miss that broadcast, if you miss that message, go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, where you can watch the sermon in its entirety. You can see that and hear it. Today, we're going to turn our attention, and by the way, the Bible tells us to choose life, that you and your descendants may live. And this is what we're focusing on. And today we're going to start focusing on what is truth and really how should we base whether we vote for or against Amendment 4. And certainly there are people that will say, well, this is too radical, and it is too radical. And there are people that will seek that decision and will say, well, you know, they will base their decision on that, and they will actually say, well, you know, this is too radical, we shouldn't do this. They'll look at focus polls and focus groups and say, well, you know, this argument really moved the people. But we're going to rely upon God's word, and we're going to look at what God says about this issue. And that's how we're going to base our what we believe and what we follow. And this is really what we do with really every topic. And we are going to, and we talk about this with every topic. And sometimes you might even say, if you've heard this before, you might even say, well, I already know this, I don't need to go over this again. But the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 15 says this: therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So Peter here is talking about making their calling and election sure, which is really an odd phrase, because we are called by God. We are elected by God. But a lot of people, a lot of Christians actually view salvation as fully God's, they look fully and wholly on God's sovereignty. And there are other groups of Christians that look solely on our responsibility. But really, when you look at the Bible, you see both hand in hand. And even right here in this passage, you see this, both of them hand in hand. Our making our calling and election sure is our fulfilling our responsibility to make sure that we are right with God, even though God is the one that elects us. God is the one that calls us, and we can't call ourselves. We can't elect ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves saved, but we should make our call and election sure. And Peter says, if you do this, you're going to have a sure entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, because of this, I'm going to remind you, even though you're established in this truth, I'm going to continually remind you of this truth. And even after I'm dead, even after I go to be with the Lord, I still am going to remind you of this truth. So it is necessary to actually have a reminder of the truth. In John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? And Pilate was actually being sarcastic, and this was not really, he was not really seeking truth. But still, when we look at topics, when we look at subjects, we should truly ask, what is truth? And we're going to look to see what the way God defines truth. And first of all, we see in John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20, that God's word is truth. Jesus prays to God, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And sanctification means that we are being set apart for God's purpose. So we are actually sanctified and purified by God's truth, and his word is truth. You have sent me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they may also, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who are, who will believe in me through their word. And then we look at Psalm 119. And we don't know exactly who the author of Psalm 119 is, because the Bible doesn't ascribe it to any particular author. It could have been David, it could have been Ezra, Daniel, or Jeremiah. It was someone who was familiar with persecution, and all three of those were familiar with that. Many people have believed that David wrote this psalm, but the Bible, again, doesn't ascribe it to any one particular author. But in this psalm, we actually, the Eastern Orthodox Church believed that King David used this psalm to teach his son Solomon both the Hebrew alphabet. There are groups of eight verses, and every group is preceded by one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But so their belief is that he used this to teach Solomon both the Hebrew alphabet and the alphabet of spiritual life. There's a lot of truth packed in there. And in this this psalm, you actually will see that God's judgments are upright. You'll also see that his testimonies, which God has commanded, are righteous and faithful. And that he had zeal, the psalmist had zeal for the word of God, that God's word is pure, the psalmist loved the word of God. Even though he was small and despised, he did not forget the precepts of God. Psalm 119 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And it's a great book. It's actually the great chapter. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's even longer than some of the books of the Bible. But it is packed full of good teaching. And one of the big points in that is that God's word is true. His law is true. And we need to memorize it. We need to meditate upon it. We need to hide it in our hearts. And we need to apply it to our lives and live our lives in such a way that we are being guided by his word, that we are developing a biblical worldview, that we look at the world through the lens of God's word. This is what God is calling us to do. Jesus, in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, speaking to those Jews who believed in him, said this: "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So to abide means to live in. Most of us live in a home or an apartment. And certainly there are people that are homeless. Jesus was homeless, so to speak. He didn't actually have a place to lay his head. He roamed around and he went to various places. But when you live in a home, when you live in an apartment, you live there, you're abiding there. Jesus says that we need to abide in his word, to live in his word. We need to be reading his word, memorizing it, meditating upon it, pondering upon it, speaking it to ourselves, listening to it, thinking about it, letting God's word guide our every decision, our every step. And this is so easy to do in our culture today because we have the word of God freely available. People bled and died so that we could have the word of God. There were Christians who actually were executed, burned at the stake, because to actually help you have the word of God freely available. And we not only have the word of God in printed format today, we also can get it on our phones, on our tablets. We can get it on our computers. We can watch it on our TVs. We can listen to the word of God being read. We can even listen to dramatized versions. We have multiple different translations. We have various study guides. We can actually search. Even doing a Google search, you can search and find passages in the Bible. So many ways, so much that we can actually, ways that we can actually contain or consume God's word. One of the ways that I do it is through an app called Audible, which is now owned by Amazon. And I actually have two different versions of the Bible. One is the New King James New Testament, and the other is the King James Full Bible. Both of them are dramatized, and I can listen to these, and I can listen to this while I'm doing gardening work. I can listen to it while I'm preparing food. I can listen to it as I'm taking a walk. There's various ways that we can consume God's word. But Jesus says if we abide in his word, that we will be his disciples indeed, which means that we will be a disciplined follower. And we will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So how would we know the truth? Because God's word is truth. And if you're abiding in God's word and God's word is truth, you will know the truth, and that truth can make you free. And we also see in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus himself is truth as well. And then in Acts chapter 17, we see that really there were a lot of different groups of people that the Apostle Paul was ministering to, and he was certainly calling ministering to Jews and Gentiles and calling them to repent. And many times the Jews were jealous, and they would raise up the people in the city to to cast Paul and Silas out. And quite often, sometimes they even stoned them or tried them, whipped them, beat them, imprisoned them. But they actually went to Berea. And the Berean believers were, first of all, they were not believers before they got there. But when they started preaching the gospel, they were, first of all, open-minded, open to the idea that they may not have every a corner on the truth, and they may not understand every part of the truth of God's word, and that possibly Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he may have actually died on the cross for our sins. So they were open to that idea, but they also searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul and Silas, what they were saying is true. This is something that you always, always, always need to do. I don't care what pastor is speaking. I don't care what pastor is preaching. I don't care who is saying something, whether it's a pastor, whether it's someone on television, whether it could be a singer. It doesn't have to be someone coming from a biblical worldview. But you need to be weighing what you hear, what you see, whether it's something, a concept that you see in a movie or a television show, whether it's an opinion piece, or even someone that's supposedly quoting about what's happening in the news. You actually need to be looking at the Word of God and weighing what was being said against what the Word of God says to see whether it is actually true or not. And thankfully, the Berean believers did find in the Word of God the verification that what Paul and Silas was saying was actually true. And they were actually able to speak that truth, and they were able to accept that truth and to receive salvation for their sins, so that their sins could be forgiven them, that their sins could be washed away. So this is really the way we need to be open to ideas, but not so open as there was a Christian singer, Steve Taylor, that talked about being so open-minded that your brain leaked out. We shouldn't be so open-minded that we just accept anything and any belief. We need to apply God's word and listen to God's word and keep his commandments and apply his precepts. One of the things also we need to actually realize is that when we think about truth, that there are people who know the truth, who are purposely suppressing the truth or keeping it down. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So you see, God's wrath, we hear a lot today about God's love, but we don't hear about his wrath. And God is not just a God of love, and he's not just a God of grace and mercy. He also is a God who is holy and righteous. And because he is holy and righteous, he is also a God of wrath. And this was demonstrated in the death and burial, the torture that Jesus went through, because really God poured out his wrath for our sins. The penalty that I should have borne went to Jesus, and the penalty that you should have borne went to Jesus. And if you confess your sins, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you repent of your sins and you trust Jesus as your Savior, that punishment that Jesus took upon his body can be applied to your sins, and his blood can wash away your sins. But know this, if you do not repent, the wrath of God abides upon you. This is not something that you know, we're all familiar with John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Many people don't quote the next few verses, that for those that don't believe, for those that don't repent, what happens is the wrath of God abides upon them. And don't take my word for it. Go to John 3:16 and read that verse and read the next few verses, and you will see for yourself that that is true. So the wrath of God is actually revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And on this issue of abortion, there is a lot of suppression of truth. And even with this amendment, there is a lot of suppression of truth. Even with collecting signatures, we've been out to public events collecting signatures for a pro-life constitutional amendment, and had people stop by our booth that signed the petition that got Amendment 4 on the ballot, because the petition gatherers actually told them that it was a pro-life amendment. And they even went out to CareNet of the Treasure Coast, a pro-life pregnancy center. They went out to their Walk for Life and collected petition signatures until they were stopped when the organizers found out and the people that worked there found out what was happening and stopped them from doing that. They were actually collecting signatures from the supporters of life, telling them, lying to them, telling them that this was a pro-life amendment. When we look at abortion, there's a lot of deception. The abortion clinics often say, well, it's not really a human being at that point. It's just a blob of cells. It's a clump of cells. It's just a blob of tissue. It really isn't a human being at that point. And yet, what is happening is, even now, very early abortions are happening through chemical abortions, and women are actually delivering their own dead baby in their own toilet, and they're not seeing a blob of tissue, they're not seeing a clump of cells, they're seeing a little baby girl or a little baby boy with arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and toes, and certainly not fully developed, but they're seeing a human being in their toilet. And this is very traumatic. But the pro-abortion forces have been launching and have been actually lying to people and have actually been telling them that this is just a clump of tissue. But what really is true is that we see that human beings are created in God's image in the womb and need to be protected. Every innocent human being should be protected by love and by law. Also, later on in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, we see that who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we see that there are some who actually exchange God's truth for a lie, and they worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And so it is vitally important that we know the truth and that we read God's word and we see what God has to say about things. And especially when we're looking at a constitutional amendment, a proposed constitutional amendment, that we actually look at the word of God, we apply it to our lives, and we apply it to our laws, we apply it to the Constitution, and we actually are not accepting a lie in exchange for the truth. We are not going to be deceived by those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, or by those who actually exchange the truth for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. God has actually called us His church, Christians. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer today, then He has called you to do this. By the way, if you're not a believer, maybe you're a pagan. Maybe you've been living in sin. Maybe you're one that actually has participated in abortion. And by the way, you're not alone. There are millions of men and women in this nation who have participated in abortion. Know this, that God hates what you did, and what you did is actually a horrible, horrible crime against your own offspring. But God has poured out His wrath upon Jesus so that you can repent of your sins and turn to Him and receive forgiveness for that sin, even the sin of paying an abortionist to kill your own baby, even for the sin of participating in an act that would cause impregnation or that could possibly produce a son or a daughter who would be actually killed by abortion one day. And so it is vitally important that we actually turn back to God, we keep His commandments and serve Him. But God has called for His church to actually be the pillar and the ground of truth. And He has called for us to be diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. How do you do this? It's not by reading a verse a day. You're going to need to get into the word of God and abide in it, like Jesus said. Dive into the word of God, live it, follow it, keep His commandments, follow His precepts, so that you can know His truth, and so that that truth can set you free, so that you can be His disciple. You can know the truth of God, and the truth can actually set you free from your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Before God created civil government, He created family. Before He created even the church, God created family. Families play a vital role in training the next generation. Commit today to nurturing and supporting families, especially your own. Families that are committed to God and each other can play a vital role in transforming our churches, cities, states, and nation.
Against the boulders, and my ship's tossed up.